You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net.
Passion Pride, Alejandro, an interracial romance author, Mahogany Silvering. Alejandro, the son of a jaguar king, who doesn't want to be king. When he has a premonition of a human woman's fight with drug coyotes, he rushes to save her. He takes her on the run to keep her safe from the cartel, who mistakenly believes that she has stolen from him. Alejandro and Regina fall in love. However, when his father is killed by cartel enforcers, Alejandro is forced to become king. But Regina feels unworthy to be his queen. Can this reluctant jaguar king lead his people, protect his homeland, and make Regina a human? His queen. Passion's Pride, Alejandro, a romance author, Mahogany Silvering. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net.
Well, hello, everyone, and good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've got a great show for you on this special night of the Once Upon a Villain series. We are at book number 11, and it is called Basis of Comparison. And I have the author with me tonight. Her name is TV Bond. TV, say hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on here.
Thank
you
for
having
me.
Yeah. We were just talking a few minutes ago, so... about her rank, and you're now up to what, number 3 in new release?
Number 3 in new release and 17 in African American science fiction.
Awesome. See, that
very
is awesome.
Exciting.
I mean, and first day, because it came out today, so it is brand new. You've got to read it. I haven't read it yet, but it just came out, so I'm telling everybody. Let's get it. And it's about the Goblin King. So one of my favorite movies was The Labyrinth. So, yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself, TV.
A little bit about me? Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Probably the biggest thing about me is that I am interesting individual, as I've been described. I love anime, science fiction, fantasy.
Yes. There you go.
And... of course, you get the romance. And so I like to mix all these things together and add in things from my job, in the sense of I work in a, in HR. So it's really interesting when it's time to have a job for my character, or in the case of one story I had that I wrote, and it's called the Nine Worlds series. I actually had this dream. I had a dream. You'll never believe this. I had a dream about work. And I took that dream and made that into a story.
Wow.
So, yes, because I'm kind of weird as far as HR. I'm like in the HR IT area.
Oh, okay.
Slash learning. So I yeah, that's a lot of hats right there.
Yeah, that's hats, yeah.
But it's fun when you have that kind of background and then you have that creativity aspect, because a lot of HR folks typically don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that background and writing stories, especially when you have the work element in your story and you're having Like, I had this one story. It's called Irreplaceable. It's in a copulation story. Compilation, I'm sorry. And there is some copulation that happens, too.
Yeah,
but in a
well,
compilation
of course.
There.
Just change that L right there.
Yeah, exactly. The character was going through orientation at work, and she had to take her business conduct, which I could definitely relate to that. And I had that happen. And that's not something I actually see in stories where people have to go through HR. It's kind of crazy. But I have fun with it. I do.
Wow.
I have one story that's got nine worlds where instead of it calling HR, it's called Heavenly Resources.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
Because in that story, you're dealing with gods and angels in Norse mythology. And
yes.
So that's why the heavenly resources. And it's interesting. I have fun with
that. That certainly fits. How did you get into writing? What made you or what inspired you to become a writer?
Well, I discovered my love for books when I was in the fourth grade. My teacher gave me Nancy Drew number 29, Pure
Ooh.
Poison. And it was my first book that wasn't a baby book. It didn't have pictures. It had chapters, like a grown-up.
It had chapters.
I read that book, and my mom saw that, and she said, okay, well, this is what we're about to do. And so she went to the thrift store. My grandma was going to the thrift store. And they were buying me all these mysteries. So I read Nancy Drew, which at that time was in the late 80s, 90s
area. I used
to
read her, too.
Yeah, and then she found me old Nancy Drew from, like, the 60s and Trixie Belden and
Oh,
Heart
wow.
Boys.
Yeah, yes.
They were pulling out some wild stuff. And then... And then, of course, Boxcar Children. Love that. Now I know that it's just homesteading. That's what we call it now. If you want to live in a boxcar now, you're a homesteader. You're living off grid.
Oh, okay.
Think about it. That's the truth, though.
That is true. Homesteaders, yeah.
They would get a channel. They would get a Discovery Channel show.
Wow.
That's what they would get now. Discovery Channel, if you hear that, call me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got a pitch for you.
Oh, all right. Well, I had Dawn on here a couple of weeks ago, and so she was telling me about what you guys were thinking about doing at one point, something like It's Your World. But like you write the story, you have the characters and the different voices. And I told her, I said, if y'all want to do that, if you're serious, I would love to do that because I can do different voices. So it would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes. Okay, for our radio play.
Yes, your radio.
Yes. Yeah, I have a lot of wild ideas sometimes, and I swear to you, these ideas make people, they're just, the face that they make when I pitch these ideas is just amazing. They're probably wondering, how does she even get out of bed in the morning? She's ridiculous. But then when they see the finished work, they're like, okay, that's not what I expected.
Yeah, they got to give you some credit there. Yeah.
Because my process is very strange and wild. It almost seems like I just pulled it out my butt, in all honesty. It does. It seems
sometimes
way,
it's like that, though. Sometimes it feels that way for me, too. You just, because you can have a whole outline and it just, characters are like, no.
And I'm a naturally curious person,
it.
So I wonder a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah. From what Dawn was telling me about you guys, too, she does the same thing. I need to pick both of your brains, seriously, because I thought I was
her
weird.
Face. Yeah. See,
yeah.
We've been friends forever. We've been friends
That's
since
what
we were
told
19
me.
Years old. And she still looks at me like I'm crazy sometimes. Especially last week. Last week, I got her good. I think she was going to fall on the floor laughing. And I was laughing, too, with the concept I had for our superhero story.
Yeah, she did tell me about that too, the superhero story. So that sounds like it's going to be really interesting. Because
I
love superheroes.
Yeah, we're going to have, it's going to be fun. I created a character based on something that I misheard.
Oh.
And yes, I misheard something and a character was born. I'll tell you about it after I flush it all out.
Okay.
I don't want to get too far ahead.
Yeah, you don't get too far ahead. So, yeah, we'll come back to that. So, but right now, we want to know about basis of comparison. So give us a little synopsis, if you would, for people, for the listeners.
For those who are interested in The Labyrinth, Once Upon a Villain is a series where we take a villain from folklore, fairy tales, and in some cases movies, and we give them a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
We rewrite their history or say, hey, you thought you knew this, but this was propaganda, and then we toss them into whatever our world is and then let them run free. Now, I will say this. Yes, my Goblin King was based on The Labyrinth, but it is not The Labyrinth because that is owned by Jim Henson.
Yes.
So because of that, I had to make some changes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
One is that my character's name is not Jareth. His name is Oliver. Oliver King. You'll love this. You know, honestly, I named him Oliver King because, one, he was a king. Two, I like Arrow, Green Arrow.
Yes, I so badly Oliver Queen.
To have a line. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So in my mind, I had this grand plan to have him in there. Say, you have failed the school.
Wow.
I was gonna do that, and then didn't make it in there.
Oh,
it didn't even make it in there.
See, I would have, because I love Arrow too. So,
but yes, I did put in elements of The Labyrinth. Obviously, there's a labyrinth, just like in the cover. If you look at the cover, you'll also see an owl.
Yes.
So there's an owl in there somewhere. I put in a lot of the movie elements, and I also made up a lot of things on my own. Basically, the premise of the story is the Goblin King gets a second chance from the Celestial Witch, Celeste, to change his history. Well, he gets a second chance to change his history. I didn't actually change his history. I more like dampened it in his case.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, he reinvents himself, him and his two brothers, and he moves on. His kingdom, instead of his kingdom being as it was, where it was just like a traditional, basically European-type kingdom, he actually converted his kingdom into a school because it's not safe for goblins to take children anymore. So let's form a school. So that's what he did. Goblins are known for two things, stealing kids and banks.
Mm-hmm.
So my Goblin King owns pretty much all the banks and a lot of the schools.
Okay.
Makes good sense. Can't steal kids.
Yes, excellent.
And if
you can open a school, you'll have kids.
That's
right. You have all the kids, not to steal anybody. Nice.
Exactly. Exactly. You can have them for, well, not really have them, but, you know, you'll be able to shape their minds, and then you send them home. Or if they are not wanted, then you get to adopt them. Ta-da. And it's all good because everybody's happy.
True. Nice. So what makes him a villain? What makes him a
villain? Okay, so the reason why he's a villain is because he was accused, when Celeste, the Celestial Witch, comes across him, he is just basically laid waste to a hunter clan for their crimes. So he's basically killed a lot of people, but I kind of dampen that because we don't want to see that. So essentially what happened was a hunter, that's a female hunter, pitted him and his one of his brothers against each other into a love triangle to infiltrate the kingdom. And then they basically staged this huge coup to destroy the goblins. Fortunately, he figures it out in time to keep it from destroying him, destroying the kingdom completely, but not enough time for the damage to be done. So after that, he doesn't trust women anymore, and he's trying to rebuild everything, rebuild his people, rebuild his kingdom, and his family. His mother's passed away. She was killed in the battle, that kind of thing. And he's trying to move forward. So that's why he's a villain. And so the price of his happily ever after is that he is not to involve himself in any fighting directly, except for self-defense. So because of that, he tasks his middle brother, who's named Kristoff. He's a fun character as well. He tasks his brother Kristoff as being the school's hunter. That's the person who does, he's basically his wet works person, does his dirty work. He doesn't like it, but he sends his brother out for his official business, and he fights all of his arguments through logic. And that's also a joke within the book too, is that you can't argue with him because he's going to find a way to make your argument seem like you're being ridiculous.
Oh, okay. It kind of runs rings around you.
Yeah. Well, if you can't fight anymore because you're going to lose everything, you're going to be really good at with your verbal swordsmanship, so to speak.
Yes. Have to use your brain instead of the sword.
Exactly. So that's the story of Oliver. His heroine is named Serafina Raziel. She is an earth maiden, which is something that I made up in my world that I have. Earth maidens work with the goddess Danu. So basically they're her priestesses.
Yes.
And she gives them various tasks, usually guarding mythicals and anything else that she feels like is important. And so Serafina has charge over two young unicorns because unicorns are rare. Because either, well, their parts can be used in dark magic, and they were overhunted, and so that's why it's hard to find unicorns. Most people think unicorns are mythical. And so, yes, and so she is trying
Pretty much almost extinct. Yeah.
Exactly. She is to a point where, even the supernatural, they're mythical to them. Most of them have never seen a unicorn. They heard about them. And in my series so far, I have introduced one guy, unicorn, one male unicorn, who made some unicorns. So therefore, there's more than one now for sure. And then these two, who he's not related to, because I never said how many there were. I just said that they were rare.
Oh, okay.
And so the unicorn population is starting to build up. And I will tell you that I also had fun with Serafina. Serafina Raziel is hilarious because when I started out, I wanted her to be, not to take herself too seriously and to be humorous, but I also wanted her to be like badass at the same time as well.
Yeah.
I want her to be that person who may trip on the sidewalk, but at the same time was like this like super ninja person. So maybe you
okay.
would underestimate her. Yeah, that person mm-hmm. that you may underestimate, but is really good.
Yes.
I wanted her to be like that, but she ended up turning into kind of like Issa Rae in some cases. So I kind of like, okay.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, she kind of sounds, yeah.
Yeah, she is
or,
delightful.
You know who, yeah. I kind of thought of Ichigo from Bleach when you were talking about it a little bit, because he is a real badass, but he's also kind of this clumsy kind of at first. Not
I
really.
Would
I don't
say,
know if you, have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen Bleach. I would say she's probably. I'm trying to think if she were a Bleach character, she's probably more of a Rukia. So for.
Okay.
Yeah, she's more of a Rukia, because Rukia was, like, super serious and very confident, and then she'd do weird stuff like draw them bunny pictures.
Yeah.
She's yep. actually more awkward than that, but because Rukia is so serious still, but she is ridiculous like that. But, yes, those kind of extremes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love some Bleach.
Nice.
And she comes from she's from a alchemic mage family, so they do alchemy.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
And her dad is a mirror mage.
Oh.
So in my world, a mirror
what is,
mage.
What does they do?
Mirror mages have the ability to see and travel through reflective surfaces, and that is
oh.
a very loose term. Most people go with mirrors. You know how they always say, oh, fairies can come through mirrors, blah, blah, blah. And
mm-hmm.
then or somebody dies and comes through mirrors and stuff.
Yes.
Because a mirror mage, if you have a reflective surface, they can come in,
mm-hmm.
they can get into anywhere.
Wow.
They prefer mirrors. But and so what I typically have a mirror mage is an IT person. That's how I usually, you know, ferreting out information, monitors
yes.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of
makes
stuff.
Sense.
The screen.
Yeah.
And so that's what happens. So she's part mirror mage, part alchemist.
Okay.
Excuse me. And so that becomes handy as she's trying to find out who's after her unicorns.
Oh, yeah. So she's got the charges
then,
that are the unicorn. So, wow.
Yes. So she's trying to track her unicorns. Obviously, at some point, she's going to find them. And then it's what happens in life after that. And then when she meets Oliver, Oliver is interesting because Oliver, her name is Serafina.
Mm-hmm.
The hunter that betrayed him's name was Sarah. So when Serafina
oh.
first introduces herself, says, hi,
mm-hmm.
my name is Sarah, and you can just imagine what happened then.
Oh, yeah.
PTSD. You know that was ugly. Exactly.
Yes. He's like, oh, God, not another Sarah.
No, I can't. So, yeah, that didn't go well.
Mm.
That didn't go well at all. So it was really interesting. Yeah, but I have a good time, and I think people are going to enjoy Basis of Comparison because it's delightfully awkward. There's some great one-liners in there, so I think people are going to laugh. I hope people laugh. I mean, I laughed through some of that. So I'm just like, what
well, it
is
sounds
happening?
Like it's going to be really good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think people, it's really frisky, too, so it's like you're going to, laugh, and then maybe later at some point you'll light up a cigarette, and then maybe you might cry. you might laugh again. And then Serafina and Kristoff get along famously.
Oh, of course.
They get along famously, and the banter back and forth between those two, I almost felt like I needed to put them on a timeout.
See that,
and
that makes it more interesting.
Yeah, it does.
So you get two
oh,
characters
also,
that get together and cut up.
Exactly. One of the things that I did also do in this story that I hadn't really touched on before was, I mean, obviously when you write a story, a lot of times there's emotional trauma because that's part of the character growth. But this is the first time in this story is the first time I actually introduce a third party to help with that character growth instead of a series of trials that help you get over it. They actually are going to go to a therapist in there. But these are supernatural people. You can't just go to any therapist. You got to go to a supernatural therapist. And so that whole trip with the therapist was hilarious and crazy.
Wow.
Because how does a supernatural therapist help you with your problems?
Oh, exactly.
Well, you're going to see how she helped him with that one.
I'm definitely going to have to read this, too. Because I want to see now.
Yeah,
I want to see what that is.
You want to see that? There's a lot of interesting things that are in this book. When I think about it, I was like, well, this is jam-packed. It's like 300 and something pages. So I had a lot to work with.
I know, because you have a... your last book from last season, For Once Upon a Villain, Ursula, that was a good one. It was long, but I loved every minute of it, yes. And the second one for Christmas, yes, I really did. And I couldn't wait for her. You know, it's like just, I mean, I don't want to spoil the book for anyone else, but I really enjoyed Ursula and Tristan. To me, some of the stuff they were saying, it was kind of hilarious. Some of the things that they went through, thinking about the other person. You know, and you wrote it from both of their perspectives. I like that. That was really good.
Yes, and I did the same thing with Basis of Comparison. So it is coming from both of their perspectives.
Oh, okay.
And
nice.
It's set in that same type of world.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have done with Paris in Springtime and my Love, Sex, and Magic series, which if anyone's interested, is all of those books are set in the Tidewater area of Virginia, which is the southeast, Virginia Beach and Chesapeake and Norfolk and all that. That's where those books take place. So that allows me to have a lot of things going on and still be in a tight area.
Oh, that's nice.
Because let's face it, do you really know what's happening 10 miles down the road?
No idea.
Probably not. Exactly.
No,
the people 10 miles away from you are not having the same life that you are, or maybe they are. And it could still be interesting. And so that's kind of how I tackle it as well. So I have them all in this same area. Sometimes they interface with each other. And but just like anything else, everybody doesn't know each other. So I did not directly reference Ursula in this book, but I did mention some of her products because she's, you know, she's one of the number one potions dealer in the Midwest.
Yes, that's right.
So there was talk of potions and there, I don't think I referenced Tristan in there, but in Ursula Major, the alpha that Tristan was getting along with, he is a character from the Love, Sex, and Magic series.
Okay.
So you actually see him the first time in Shenanigans.
Oh, I haven't read that one. But all of your characters, this whole world, it's really unique. And everything that you forget about everything you know about shifters or witches or because it's like they're totally different. And I like the way you wrote them. It's like the whole world
that you
put together. That was awesome. And how everyone comes and they all kind of fit. But you've like changed everything. Like it was, I really like that. You did a really good job with that.
Thank you. What I tried to do was I tried to My basic theory for the supernatural folks is anyone with powers is supernatural. And mm-hmm. then you have your mages who are human.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your shifters. Your wares are people mm-hmm. are people who were once human that were turned. So they're technically mm-hmm. shifters, but they can't control their magic. So
right.
they turn within the cycle, whatever the cycle mm-hmm. is for their animal. So a lot of times they get lumped in together.
Right.
And then you have your she. Your she basically covers everything else you're thinking of, like your vampires, your elves,
mm-hmm.
and sprites and things of that nature. That's pretty much how I lump them all together. Now, one of the things about Paris in Springtime is since they're all a series of standalones,
mm-hmm.
you can read them in any order you want, and they're all different, as
mm-hmm.
though because it's a different couple each time. And also,
oh, okay.
too, because it's a different couple each time, the language varies. I'm trying to keep it in a sort of a middle ground, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just – so when you may have – if you have a character who is not as familiar with the supernatural, they may
mm-hmm.
say odd things because they don't know.
Right.
And a person who's familiar with my books may be like, oh, it's this, that, and the other. They're doing it wrong, blah, blah, blah. Because that character just doesn't know. I actually have in Hunter's Creed, which is on pre-order. And I know that doesn't help anybody right now, but at some in there, there's a part where the heroine actually calls the hero a fae, and
okay.
he's just like, I'm she. You can call me a vampire, she, whatever. I'm she. I'm not fae. And she's like, what's the difference? He said, are you an ape? And she's like, fair. We'll use that again.
Wow.
But she was using it over and over again instead of she up until you called her out. Whereas other books where they're very much in the know, like in Ursa Major, I'm sure you
right.
noticed the language in there. They were
yes.
very particular. A male, if they didn't know what species you were a male. If you were
mm-hmm.
a female was any species. However, if you were a mermaid female, then you were a maid.
Mm-hmm. Which made sense.
Right. And so it kind of gives it its own, it's like every book has, even though it's a shared culture, I feel
mm-hmm.
like it gives you more of that feel of, this is the story of these people right here. I am familiar. It's almost like you are the town, like you're a fly on a wall, several walls.
Right.
Of a town, and you're able to kind of take in, oh, that's what's going on over here. I know this now.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go this far over here and find out what's going on.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I like how they were able to do the doorways between, like they were like on land, but then she'd open a door and they would be underwater. I thought that was pretty cool.
Right, yeah.
And I love her purple
yeah,
door.
Yeah, her purple door. She's talking so much trash about that purple door.
I love the purple door.
Yeah, I do. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Tristan didn't
I like
it.
That. Yeah, well.
Tristan
did.
Oh, something.
Well, he didn't really like a lot.
He liked her. Well, eventually.
That's yeah, eventually. Because, yeah, he didn't like her at first either.
Oh, yeah. It was good times. There was some sparks, weren't they?
Yes, there were some real sparks.
Magic.
Oh, yeah.
That discount magic. That almost got
mm-hmm.
him murdered. He had to bring that down.
Uh-huh. Most definitely. He had no idea. He wasn't ready.
He wasn't. That story actually turned out really, really well. I had reservations about it at first.
I don't know why. I really enjoyed it. I really, that was my first book from you that I had read, and I really enjoyed it. Because I love mermaids, and I was just like, yeah, I love this. Because I like Ursula, you know, I don't care what anybody says about the whole sea witch thing. She was one of my best characters in Ariel. So I just really, Little Mermaid. So I always liked Ursula. And then when I saw
I loved Ursula.
Queen Latifah, when she played her on stage.
Yes.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Or she's like screaming. I know I was.
Yes.
She did that.
Yeah, she did. She
I mean,
really
she even
did
kept
that.
It going even after she burnt her hand in the middle of the song.
Right?
I was like, you get it, girl. You kept it moving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did that. I was hoping that the live action when they'd actually put her in that too. I know they probably have somebody else there, but well, at
they
least we
do
got
have
Hallie.
Somebody else, but I heard they were talking about it still anyway. After that performance,
well, Melissa McCarthy, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's who they were talking about. Yeah, I would have loved to see her as Ursula because she made a really good Ursula. Mm-hmm.
I was very. Would you believe? Okay, so here's something about me. Okay, I do all my own covers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my little hobbies that I like is to watch speed painting.
Oh, okay.
And someone on YouTube did a speed painting years ago, probably back in 2015. Of Queen Latifah as Ursula.
Oh.
Yes. They called it.
Wow.
And it came out so nice. The speed painting they did.
Mm.
And
I bet
so
it did.
When I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out really good. But I've always, Ursula was always a favorite. I had this vision of how she would be. She'd be saucy. She'd say whatever she's thinking, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which a person who's like that is hard to get along with because if you don't have self-confidence, they're going to basically eat you.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
And that's why Brayden was the perfect person for her. Brayden wore her down.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Brayden. Brayden is hilarious. Brayden showed up. I think she's the only character she shows up in Basis of Comparison. Yes, Brayden does.
Okay, so Brayden. Okay,
because Brayden is an Earth Maiden. Yes.
Yes.
She's
so that makes sense. Yes.
She's the lead Earth Maiden. Had to remind myself. Yes. So, Brayden. The funny thing about Brayden is I created her when I was doing Just a Taste. Just a Taste that was my first time introducing unicorns because I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be fun if I had a story where the hero was a virgin? And then I thought to myself, no one's going to believe that. Unless he's like religious or something, no one's going to believe that. They're going to give me a hard time about it. So then I said,
no.
How can I make him a virgin? And then that's when I came up with the unicorn plan. Colt and Brayden. And I had a very good time. I had such a good time with that, but that story was under constraints where it could
mm-hmm.
only be a certain length. So that's why I named it Just a Taste, because at some point I'm going to go back and write the full length
mm-hmm.
story for that, where we can find out everything that led up to that point and what happens afterwards. But, the names in there, too. I have fun with names, just so you know. Like, Colt from Just a Taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Colt is a little boy. And, you know, some people say when you have sex, you become a man or you become an adult. You know, I think that's crap. That's not true. But still, I named him little boy. Brayden. Brayden's last name is Burns. Well,
mm-hmm.
Colt's favorite. Unicorns in particular, I said they have a thing for apples. Well,
mm-hmm.
what made Brayden special is if you shorten her name is Bray, and
Bray
Burns, and that is a type of apple.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice.
So that's how that works. I love working with names.
That's pretty cool.
There's a lot of clues in names. Sometimes my names are clues in the story. Sometimes they are clues to fandom. Serafina Raziel.
Mm-hmm.
Her,
she sounds like
Serafina
an angel.
Raziel. Yes. Yes. I'll give you one better. I'll tell you her full name. Her full name is Serafina Kynwin Raziel.
Wow.
If you are a person who likes to play video games, that
mm-hmm.
sounds familiar to you.
Yeah.
It's a nod. It's a nod to a video game franchise.
Oh. Okay.
Not necessarily the character directly, but just
mm-hmm.
a nod.
Just a nod.
Just a nod.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks. But yes, that's why I like to do stuff like that. I like to, especially one of the things you're going to notice, I would pay attention, this is just a tip, I would pay attention to names of places, names of people,
mm-hmm.
all of that when you're reading the Paris in Springtime, because a lot
okay.
of times it's a tip for you.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's not that much of a tip. It's maybe a nod to my personal fandom or whatever, or
mm-hmm.
anything else that I like, or maybe a nod to the Paris of Springtime, especially King Wishful Thinking. I'm just saying, if you guys catch all the name drops in there,
mm-hmm.
you deserve some credit.
See, now I'm going to be digging for him. So looking for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he dropped a lot of Easter eggs. So now I have to dig them out now.
Yeah, I love Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I enjoy Easter eggs. And the most important thing about Easter eggs is
mm-hmm.
when you lay them and you make them seem like they're insignificant.
Right. So unless you're really
like,
paying attention, you'll just gloss over it.
I had my editor for Ursula Major. She was hilarious. She said when Tristan and Ursula first met, she said,
mm-hmm.
I thought his comment was a throwaway comment. And then here it comes back. That comment. You're like, this throwaway comment is just like, what? And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you just never know.
Yeah,
things
that is true.
Just seem insignificant and maybe important. That's
yeah, I have
that
to dig them out
background.
Now.
Yes.
Oh.
Have you, is Ursula Major the only Paris in Springtime story that you've read?
Yes. That one, and then I read the villain's Christmas book.
For
came out, yeah. So I know about the baby. But
yes, you know about the baby. You
mm-hmm.
let me know what you think. If you ever read King of Wishful Thinking, you let me know. Yeah, you let me know what you find out. King of Wishful
okay.
Thinking.
King of Wishful
King
Thinking.
King of Wishful Thinking is hilarious. It's a genie, which I
okay.
know you'd be into that.
Yep.
It's a genie. It's a djinn who is mated to a rabbit shifter. A lot of people
really?
Don't like
that.
I'm not afraid of
that?
Types of shifters.
Me either.
Well, you know, most people, when they think of shifters, they think of tigers and bears.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Wolves or some big, big animals.
Wolves.
They don't think of the, yeah.
Right. They leave the horses, the unicorns, the zebras, because I got a zebra shifter, too. Not in that book,
oh,
but I got a zebra
awesome.
Shifter. Yeah, I have zebra shifters. kiss of a shifter, a zebra shifter, named Paisley Monroe.
Write down.
Because you know I like names. The zebra shifter named Paisley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. And would you believe her brother's name is Plaid? Paisley and Plaid.
Paisley and Plaid makes sense.
It's good times right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. I switched up the names because I had, instead, you know, I couldn't do Aladdin because, of course, Disney doesn't even really own Aladdin, the original story. But so I kind of played around with some things from that. But Zazu was from The Lion King, but that's the name of the monkey that Alasim has. So I kind of play with that, see if anybody would pick that up. Is a reference to that. to the bird.
Arabian Nights business gets you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And instead of
Scheherazade.
Yes, Scheherazade. Exactly. And A Thousand Nights. Yes. Well, no, 1,001 Nights. Yeah.
You should watch the Hallmark movie that they made for that. That movie was good. It was I think it was a four-part. Was it a three-part or a four-part miniseries?
Oh, really?
That was good. It was very good. It tells you, it's more historical of how she started telling him these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because my understanding is she started telling him those stories because he had a rule. That he was he would kill his wife.
that night.
You know,
after they did the deed, he would curtains. But she kept storytelling just for her own, you know, to keep from dying, keep from being killed.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, she had a lot of. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who named her baby Scheherazade. It's her middle name. Yes, really
that's
pretty.
Cool.
I threw an Arabian baby shower, and I had belly dancers come out. I made my house into a tent, and all these pillows and all the little we found all kinds of stuff to bring in. It looked like you were really in a tent.
That sounds fun.
I had a lot of fun doing the baby shower.
Your house.
It was really pretty. I did everything in what I described in the Desert Flower was actually my living room that I made for baby shower for my friend because she was naming her baby Elun Scheherazade. So yes, and I had it on the cake and everything, and the lady who made the cake for me, she did a little lamp, and it was really pretty the way she had made the cake. So it was definitely a really cool theme. So that's why I always kind of like that. So, and it lies in one of my favorite stories. So I was like, I gotta do them. And then I watched a lot of genie movies. There's a couple on Tubi. Have you seen Tubi? Tubi.com? There's a couple on there.
I've not actually watched it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. There's it seemed like it's not too long ago, but it was the way that they did the kind of the magic scenes and the whole story was different. It gave a different shift on the whole Aladdin story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, I liked the way they did it. And the genie was a djinn, but it would grant your wish. That's how I got it, you know, in my head to make them grant the wishes, but they're twisted. Like this, he has to be young. He wished to be young, right? Well, he gave him youth, but then he dried up and turned and died immediately. So it was like, you know, you get your wish, but there's a twist to it. So that's kind of how I got that idea for like, oh, okay, yeah. So he doesn't want to be a genie, so yeah, he'll grant you wish, but be careful because you're going to mess it up.
Exactly. My djinn in King of Wishful Thinking, he's Salty Paws. He is. He's Salty Paws.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is Nadir. I have fun writing him because he's like an old man. I don't want any. All I want to do is work at my cabinet shop and watch my baseball. That's all I want to do. Maybe hang out with my friend who gets on my freaking nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Theo. Yes, Theo. Oh, yes, I think you'll enjoy Theo. Theo is crazy. Theo is super crazy. He is a jaguar shifter.
I love jaguars.
He's very mischievous. He loves messing with Nadir. They are best friends. Through thick and thin, they're best friends, but he sometimes probably wish a house would fall on his friend, that kind of thing. Yes. Theo is amazing. He is hilarious. I look forward to when I write his book because he's going to be ridiculous. He's that friend who doesn't let you. He's that friend who is there in your corner, but if you do something dumb, they're going to call you out and choke the crap out of you. You know, that one that if you fell and said, "Are you okay?" And then when they know you're good, they laugh.
They laugh the whole time. Yes. Or they're laughing while they're picking you up.
Yes. Don't let nobody else do it, though. He's about ready to kick the crap out of
you. That was my little sister, man. Exactly. She'll laugh at me all the time, but let somebody else do it, then she gets mad. But
he was so interesting because in King of Wishful Thinking, Nadir is resistant to being with his mate because he was afraid that she would abuse her power because he's a djinn,
right.
And so he concocts this crazy plan to basically marry her off since he knew that she applied to Paris in springtime. He was trying to marry her off using that. And he was trying to marry her off. And so he kind of goes on all of these dates with her, trying to be the helpful best friend sort of type. Meanwhile, they're going on lots of dates. I think he didn't realize that was going to go wrong.
Yeah, he missed that one. So how many series do you have?
How many series do I have? I've got the Nine World series, Paris in Springtime, Love, Sex, and Magic, Fairy Tales of Love, Sex, and Magic, and Soon to Be UHA. Am I out? Is that all of them? I guess I have five. Yeah, I think I have five. Now, the good part is three of them are kind of happen in the same world. They're just subsets. Paris in Springtime happens in the same world as Love, Sex, and Magic. Love, Sex, and Magic series focuses on a family. That one, a lot of people probably haven't read that one because that story is multicultural. It's not IR like predominantly what I'm known for. So the couples are kind of all over the place. They're not themed.
Gotcha.
But that's surrounding a family. It's fun because that family is actually there. Okay, so you'll love this. I thought, wouldn't it be fun if there was a dude who had like seven kids by like seven different ladies, and he's a single dad?
Wow. Oh.
So I did that.
Nice.
I did that. I made him a single dad. And I was trying to figure out how has this happened? Why does he have none of these ladies are sticking around? And I decided the reason why they're not sticking around is because they're not right for him. I gave him one power. Yeah, I gave him a power. He's got one power, and that power is called luck. He is a luck mage. All of his power is devoted to that. So basically what happens is everything in his life is to his favor. And you're thinking, oh, he must live the best life ever. No, that does not mean that. Because there's a lot of things happen to you that are not very positive in your mind when you first think about it, that are really to your favor when you think about it maybe 10 years down the road.
Like
when you
broke the
leg, and maybe you got a plate put in, but now that plate gave you a bionic leg or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's very glasses half full type of mentality. And some people may not dig it, but
that's pretty cool.
Basically what happens is he, you know, just like everybody else states, he'll fall in love or he'll, you know, have a one night stand or whatever. And next thing you know, baby.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
that's how he's got
kids.
Those 7 kids. So what happened to the mom? They just dropped the kids off with them, or?
Well, there's various things. You have some moms that are super crazy, and they had to be put down.
Oh.
And then you got some moms that just don't want to deal with it. They just wanted to have a good time. They're not interested in being mothers.
Mm.
And then you got some mothers that are like, yeah, I'll take care of the kid when it's my turn. For the weekend or something, maybe.
Wow.
It's kind of like life. You never know what the situation is.
That's true. It's true.
So he's the primary caregiver for these 7 daughters of various ages. The 4 of them are adults, and then, I'm sorry, 5 of them are adults, and 2 of them are literal babies, because he thought he was in the clear, and then guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And we
what
start
happened?
With, oh, well, you know what? He decided he was going to try and date again, and he got somebody pregnant. Now, unfortunately for him, something happened to that person. This person was a good person, but unfortunately, it's hazard being with him, too. She died, unfortunately.
Oh.
And then he kind of inherited one. He didn't actually make that child himself. However, his nanny did something interesting.
Mm.
That ended up him having a child.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you've got some really good series and books.
Well, you know what? I have fun with that. That was my first book, Shenanigans. So that one, that story, it's interesting because it was my first book, it's strange in comparison to the other stories. And so I had to do some course correction before I could continue onward. And so that's happening right now with Debacle. Like, if you look at it, it's kind of weird looking, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, people have read it, and they said it was okay, but I know I can do better. So I have I retooled that, but I'm not ready to release it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to release that sometime this quarter. And then and when I do, I'm going to change the cover, and so people will know that something has happened.
Okay.
Not worth reading just now unless you just want to take it in of this is how it is right now. I mean, you can read Shenanigans. I wouldn't read Debacle. I would wait.
Oh, okay.
Read Shenanigans and just wait.
Well, I'm going to have to read that. I'm going to add that to my list then, because I'm writing that down.
Yeah,
Shenanigans.
Well, yeah, because you have a succubus and a werewolf.
Oh, nice.
You got a succubus and a werewolf
hooking up. Wow. So tell everyone where they can find your books and if you have a website.
Yes, I have a website. It is bondgirlblue.com, or you can also Google me as t.b.bond. My books are available on amazon.com, Bazon. You can find me there. That's pretty much all you can find for my books right now is Amazon.
Okay.
But yeah, you can check me out. My sci-fi series, You can check out my paranormal romance. I got some science fiction erotica.
Oh, okay.
You can have fun with that. Those are
short. Oh, yeah. I like sci-fi.
Love in a Space Elevator.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, if read Getting Even first, then read Love in a Space Elevator.
Okay.
And I'm going to write a third one. It's partially written. One day I'm going to put it out. It's going to be called Quantum Entanglement.
I like that. Quantum Entanglement. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
great.
Cool. Well, for those people just joining us or who've been listening in, I've been talking with TB Bond, so we can look her up. She's got her website, and she's also on Amazon. But, you know, if you are on Amazon Kindle, you're automatically, I think, also show up in Barnes & Noble because I've had mine going there. And, yeah. Because I've looked mine up, and I'll find that they ship it out to other places, too. They'll have it on different websites. So you might want to check that because you could be on, you're not just on Amazon. So if you're on Amazon, you're not just on Amazon. So there's other places.
Okay, that's right. They expanded distribution. You're right.
So you're probably in some other places you didn't even think about. Just like Google yourself and find it. That's how I did it.
You know what? Google myself. And there's a pharmacy in Hillsboro, Texas called TB Bond Pharmacy.
Oh my goodness.
And I know they must be angry with me because I put all of their search results down.
Oh, wow.
One day I'm going to walk into Hillsboro, Texas, see if they recognize my face.
They're like, here I am. This is my place, too. It's my pharmacy. Well, at least yours doesn't come up like wood. You see mahogany, then wood comes up. And if you just do mahogany, and then the silver rain. But there's actually a perfume called Silver Rain that I found. It was rare, and it looks like a little drop. It's a silver little drop of water. But it's a really pretty bottle. But the perfume is called Silver Rain, and it's not widely or massively produced. But I was like, oh, okay, that looks cool. It actually smells pretty good. So I was like, I'll take that.
All right.
It's not my fragrance, but because I just put Silver Rain together. I didn't like that was different. But, yeah, the majority, if you put that in, the majority of what comes up is wood. But I actually spoke with Google, and I had to show them my driver to make sure that, you know, when you have that name come up, that my picture comes up. So they actually know officially who I am. But I was like, why'd you do that? Because like, I don't want to take off of my stuff, you know, so they know exactly who I am. It doesn't matter. My mom doesn't read my stuff anyway.
You know what? I Google myself often just to see what I see, make sure no one's encroaching,
I have a wiki page
out there.
I have a wiki page, and people actually quoted me. It's like from 10 years ago. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
I have a wiki page for when I wrote a fan fiction. Yeah. I was like, how did I get a page? But apparently, someone put it together for me, and it was talking about my different books and the things that I had, and it's like, wow. Some of my information was wrong, of course, but it was like, you know, hey, someone was doing this, you know, and they really liked what I had to say because I have different quotes. They actually quoted me in different articles, and I looked
it up.
I was like, wow, okay. Well, I was just joking when I said that. I don't think anybody ever what I said, you know, but apparently, yep. I've been quoted. So,
I used to write fan fiction back in the day. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what the name was, but and I had a fan. I had a Wikipedia page for that persona.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow!
And that was pretty cool when I saw that. I was like, what?
And I wrote one succubus book, and I think Succubus Wiki. It showed up on there, and I'm like, wow.
Yes. Same here. It was like succubus.net. I was like, that's super cool.
And,
I could write another one.
Kara S. was the lady who did it. I don't know if that's the same person, but yeah.
I think it is.
She read the book and she reviewed it and she put it on her succubus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty
cool. I'm going to give her something else to be excited about because I haven't done anything in years. Once I get the course correction and debacle straight, then I can go and put the third book, because it's going to be called Debauchery. You heard it here, folks.
That's right. There you go. So you find
every title has one word.
I like that. That's pretty cool. I think I only had one book that had the longest title, and that was Tell Me You Love Me.
Well, what was it?
That's the name of the book. Tell Me You Love Me.
It's
not even about. It's not even a romance. It's kind of supernatural, but she's a GBI, which is the Georgia Bureau of Investigation here, state, you know, kind of a federal. But she's supernatural, where she's a priestess, and she has this ability to touch things, and she can see the crime through the eyes of the victim.
Oh, okay.
So she kind of, and she can just, you know, she can put her hands on something. But what messes her up in this case is that she can actually, this time, she's seen through the eyes of the killer. So she has to find out how or why she is seen from the killer's point instead of the victim. And it turns out that it was something in her background that she didn't even know about her family. So, yeah.
Wow.
That was the longest title, Tell Me You Love Me. Every time I was like, you know, why did I put that? But it was just that the demon that was doing the serial killing, that's what she would say to her victims, were all male. And she would literally, right after sex, it was kind of like take their life force. So they would just be a mummy. But it was something, yeah. But she would leave the one thing standing up because she was writing them at the time. So
we need that to remain pretty still.
So it's my Kenya Clark series, because that's her name, Kenya Clark, and that's what she finds out, that this thing is related to her. So, but yeah, this succubus was killing her. Her victims, and it was all men who had lost a loved one. So she would appear as their wife, their girlfriend, ex-lover, whatever, and that's how she would draw them. But she needed, but to exist on this plane of existence, she had to take their souls. She had to survive.
Gotcha.
So
Yes, you're the succubus, all right, basically.
Yep. Quite literally, just suck them up.
Yeah,
succubus just takes the, you know, the body fluid, but this one, she was like, nope, got it all. And she would trap the souls inside of her. So whoever she did kill, those souls remain with her until, you know, she would die and they would be set free. But yeah, so another interesting, but my dad was in law enforcement and worked for the DEA, so I kind of picked his brain a little bit and asked, you know, some of our Georgia. Yeah. So I kind of did some research from a law enforcement background to kind of put it in there, but I mixed it with supernatural things because I really like mixing the two. I thought that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, a supernatural therapist, well, you know, he's a supernatural
crime
solver. Mm-hmm. And they have a supernatural crime fighting unit. Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. And they all had different backgrounds, whether they were witches, they were voodoo priestess,
or
anything.
What did you do about your jail?
Now, the jail, there were specific things for different practitioners, because magic was legal. But the only things that you couldn't do was kill someone. And because there was like, then you would be, you would have like a warrant for execution, like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
If you used magic to kill someone. It didn't matter if you conjured a demon or if you, no matter what you did, if you used magic to kill, that's pretty much, you were like, you know, that was a death sentence for you.
So you had one hard, fast rule.
Mm-hmm. You kill somebody, that's it. You don't use magic for that. So.
And you think that would be flexible.
Right? You think,
it would be like super easy. Yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
What if your actions cause somebody to die?
Exactly. So you think you're doing some good. But you're gonna do, you know, I know most Wiccans think, you know, that's the whole, their rule is do no harm. But there's lots of them that like to do harm. So. And there's no such thing as voodoo. So, yeah, there is no do not harm rule. It's however the practitioner practices, however they go after you. So, I mean, yes,
there's many ways
karmically,
to do harm,
you're going to reap what you sow. But, yeah, but they really do harm you. So, so she went after those.
You know,
I actually
read a book. It was one of Jim Butcher's Dresden Files book. I want to say it was.
Oh, I like
Proven
those,
Guilty.
Dresden Files. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love the Dresden Files. In Proven Guilty, one of the character has a death sentence put on them because you same thing. Because
mm-hmm.
there's multiple steps, there was more than one rule of magic. But the reason why they did what they did was because their friend was a drug addict.
Mm.
So they broke into their mind and made them scared to use drugs. But that was against the laws, and so they wanted
mm-hmm.
to kill them.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
you can't force anyone
they
to
had
do,
intentions.
Yeah.
They had intentions, but they did harm because they broke that person's mind.
Yes.
And they would never be.
And you can't.
And so.
And, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of deep.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think on it?
That's
At
true.
What point have you overstepped your bounds?
Mm-hmm. That's true. You can't violate anybody's rights. I mean, it's just, you know, you're forced to do something they don't want to do. You know how, like,
the
voodoo doll? Like, you couldn't make those either.
Right.
If you made a voodoo doll,
right.
you start, yeah, because that would, mm-hmm. It's an automatic sentence.
That makes sense.
And there was a federal law that was in the book, started in 2008 and established once they started needing police officers to be supernatural or some type of supernatural creature or with an ability to go after, and because they started having supernatural crimes happening and they didn't know how to solve it. So one guy
mm-hmm.
got together and he put together a team of different people that he knew were practitioners or people who had special abilities. And that's how he put it together to have that team to go after the people who were doing evil things. So then, but the biggest one they've come up against is Lucifer himself, who's decided, okay, this is a, you know, I can make my whole kingdom, set it up right here, forget hell. Earth is now going to be the new hell. So that was the second
wow.
book. And he's continuing in the
oh,
third.
Okay.
So, yep, the rise of Lucius Morningside. So, yeah.
Hmm.
So he comes up and causes all
okay.
kinds of crap. So that's how I was able to
yeah.
keep it like a series because each time they defeat him, but, you know, he keeps coming back with something else, so he's not totally defeated. So he keeps coming up with something else they have to go after him for, but they have to pin it to him first.
you know, you gotta be proven guilty.
That's right.
Keyword.
He's like, oh,
proven.
Yes, I'm just where I'm supposed to be automatically the bad guy. Nope, prove it. You have all the means at your, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a villain that lasted from book to book like that. So that's interesting. The closest I have is for a project that no one knows about.
Mm.
But, yeah, usually you're dealing with somebody different each time. Well, you know what? I do have one that's like that, but people are not aware of it for the simple fact that I don't have enough books out.
Well, okay, I only have two, so I haven't even. I just got the name of the third one, so I'm like, this will be interesting because she's going
to
make a huge.
You know,
mistake.
It's so important to have a 3-book plan at a minimum. I
mm-hmm.
found that out. As a writer, and the reason
yeah.
why is because, especially someone like me who also does their own covers,
mm-hmm.
what ends up happening if you try to do it one book at a time is eventually around the second or third book, you're going to do something that's going to break your brand, so to speak, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh. So it's best to come up with at least the first three concepts. For your
mm-hmm.
series brand or your titles and all that, so that you
mm-hmm.
you know what the pattern is, and you can be like,
right.
hey, we'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that instead of
mm-hmm.
finding out in book three that you need to recover your book.
I know, because I was like, I didn't even have the name. I knew I had the story, but it didn't have a title. Mm-hmm. I had a story. I was just like writing, but no title. And then it finally hit me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Let's call it this. But yeah, it took me a while. I'm just writing it. I had no title.
I actually have a list of ideas. Some of them are just concepts and have no title, and some of them are just titles with no concepts. So I just have like a list. And yeah. I kid you not, I was one day, I was in Bath and Body Works, and I saw the title of a book in there.
Oh, really? Wait.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just hit me. I said, that's that book.
Mm-hmm.
I've come up with a concept. You know what? On my Facebook page, I have an area called Notes that Facebook has. Mm-hmm. I have samples of stories and just random crap I made up
mm-hmm.
in there. Because I used to do something called a Writing Prompt Wednesday, and I use mm-hmm. that as a means to flesh out characters or concepts of a series.
Oh,
a lot of ideas, a lot of ideas for debacle
mm-hmm.
to for me to correct came out of there. One of them in particular is, dude, we're not asking a dragon for directions. Isn't that a crazy prompt? I thought it was hilarious.
That's cute.
I had a great time with Writing Prompt Wednesdays. Right now I don't have time to do them anymore because mm-hmm. I actually am on target with my writing schedule where it's a little too tight for me to spend time on that unless, again, I need to work out and flesh out some concepts. But, yeah, some things in there that I have put have allowed mm-hmm. me to, you know, work out stories and make these worlds a little bit more visceral.
Right.
Because the more they seem like the real world, the more interesting, and you can kind of slip into them.
That's true. Just from
like
what I've read.
The
two that I've read of yours, that it's definitely you just like right on in. Like, oh, what kind of, this is different. Oh.
Yeah, like when they went to this, you remember when they went to the sub shop in Ursa Major, Five yes. Brownies?
Uh-huh.
Five Brownies comes back again.
Oh.
In basic comparison. See, stuff like that I like to do because
mm-hmm.
one thing you'll also find is I don't use brand names of anything.
Ah.
I do not use brand names. I try not to use any real places at all. Every now
mm-hmm.
and then a real place might creep in, but it's probably a mom and pop type place where
mm-hmm.
they're not likely to sue me or anything, but a franchise,
right.
You're not going to see that in there. So we don't go to Walmart. We go to Malmart. We don't go to Target. We go to Bullseye.
Oh, there you go.
We got Five Brownies.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have? Two Brownies in a Truck. That's a moving service. Awesome. Awesome moving.
That's cool. Yeah.
I like doing things like that. Also, too, I don't use
mm-hmm.
song lyrics from real songs because you can only do, like, very little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really can't do song lyrics, technically, because those are words that belong to someone else.
True.
So, again,
unless you give them
you
credit
see
for
song
it.
Lyrics in the book.
Yeah.
Sometimes not even then. You will have to give them credit for it. You're right. But sometimes it's not even then because you have
yeah.
to get permission. So even if you gave them credit, if they decide that they don't want you in there, you're screwed.
Mm.
I've seen that
wow.
before.
Wow.
The music industry is fond of doing that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I don't play with them. They've burned me twice anyway.
Especially with my videos. But I've actually had the people that
exactly.
I use for music will tag themselves in my video.
I did a lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lip sync to Vision of Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I hit send, a note came up that said, in no uncertain terms that the artist said no. It was already pretty.
Nope,
was
you
already
can't,
pretty
you can't even
there.
Use it. Yep.
They said, we will be stripping the sound. We detected this.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. We will be stripping the sound. I was like, oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
And so,
unless you put, I do not own the rights to this, and yada, yada, yada. What, yeah. The whole little, because I got that too.
That's not enough for some people. That's not enough for some people. That's the thing. And some people are not nice about it.
No, they're not.
So I
like,
don't even get
to me, it would be, I would be flattered if somebody quoted me or somebody, you know, used some, one of my, you know, things in their whatever, especially that gave me more publicity. I mean, I would think, but, you know, I'm not
some
a musician.
People
so
way, and then some people
I
don't.
That's how I would look at it. You know, if you're going to quote me, at least, you know, at least get my words right. But, you know, it's fine. But,
right.
You know, at least give me credit for saying it.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be. I'm not gonna be upset, you know.
Yeah, I don't even. I don't even play the reindeer games with those people. I make up my own songs.
Yeah, because I actually used it, a song from a site that was like royalty free, and they had signed whatever, and so you bought the right to use that. So that's what I use on my videos. But I didn't know that the actual artist for you know. Found my video and tagged themselves and it's claiming that that's their song. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because it didn't tell you on the site who wrote the song or who sings
right.
it.
Right.
So I guess they were,
that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty neat that they did that. They're like, yeah, she used our song.
Yeah, I can dig that. So instead, I just wrote my own song. I said, okay, that makes it simple. Then
well,
we
there you go.
About
so you have to worry about
it. And crying and being upset.
Nope. Want to sip on nobody's toes.
Exactly. Plus, I also think that that kind of, it's not something I do a lot, but I feel because a lot of people do listen to music or they get songs stuck in their head and things
right.
of that nature. I think that adds to the reality if a character is hearing music, especially if you have a character that works in a club, it doesn't make any sense for them to never hear any music.
Right. Exactly.
Especially if they have a problem and they're at work, there should be some apropos lyrics in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I've only quoted the song. I just said this song was playing on the radio because it's the song they were listening to. But I just put, you know, name of the song, and the singer.
That's not as fun.
Right? I know. But I did, you know,
it's
I was like,
eh. It's like you're telling and not showing when you do that. It's almost
I know,
like
right? It's like, I'm just saying she's rocking to this, you know, listening to it, thumping her finger, you know, whatever, but I can't, because you know, I don't want to take anybody's, you know, unless I have
no,
that little trademark or whatever you put in there. Or copy, whatever.
Right.
That little, I don't know how to do little things. So I'll leave it alone.
You can probably copy it from Google. I do that sometimes. You know, but see,
that's
and that's
true.
Why I,
that's true.
And,
you could do that.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't use trademarks for anybody and I make up things. That's exactly why I make it up. So that way I can keep on moving. I don't have to worry about theatrics. And I still keep that element of the world. I know some of it's probably a little bit weird because people are probably like, what in the world? But this is a made-up world
but
anyway, so
it's exactly. It's fantasy. It's not, you know, so that's a good thing. I mean, because some fantasy stories I've read, you're like, what is this? I mean, they literally have an index because it's just like, what is this? Who is that? Why is this?
Right.
You know, what is that? You know, and if they name a creature,
if you use
it's like,
them enough.
Yeah.
If you use them enough,
index?
It becomes real to the story.
Yeah. But I like when they explain. Because if it's really, you know, you're in this whole world that you're totally unfamiliar with. And that's what makes, you know, books like Tolkien and, you know, Game of Thrones. It makes it so unique because it's their own. That's a lot of world building. It's a lot of stuff that is not real, but it seems so real because they've created all this entire world. And the characters and why they do this and what is this creature called? And why is, you know, so it's, that's just like a whole different, I like seeing that. Of course, a lot of times, you know, you need explanations. So I like when they add the little index so you can find out who is, what is what, you know.
That, and you know what, and I also feel like, though, if you take the time to explain it with context clues,
yes,
then you don't have to explain it. So you mentioned Bleach earlier. You mentioned Bleach with Ichigo. You know, because you've either read or seen Bleach, that has like 60 characters in it.
Yes.
60 main characters.
Characters, yes.
And then they have a number associated with them on top of it.
Yes.
And after I saw that, and at one point I had all of them straight. Don't ask me now.
Yeah,
you know what didn't end? The wrong card.
I couldn't tell you.
The wrong card. My brain broke with them.
Mm-hmm.
Old Sierra is the only one I remember.
I don't even remember some of the names, but I'll tell you what they look like.
You were like the one with the bells in his hair.
Yes.
the one who wears the kimono over his captain's jacket and has the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a point where you start coming up with nicknames.
Yes, because you can't remember everybody. Like that. That was so detailed and so many characters. It's just like in every episode, I think there's 600?
Oh, I think they were up to.
It's like,
I think they got up to 1,000.
Okay.
No,
see, I didn't make
not.
It that
far. No,
I did not make it that far. I think.
No, they didn't get to 1,000. I think you're right about 600. Over 1,000. Which reminds me, it's time to go start watching that again.
I know now it's on Hulu, only has so many episodes on there. And then I think I use Crunchyroll to watch the rest of them. So
I watch it on Crunchyroll. That's where I started. That's where I'm a fan.
Yeah. Well, the kids told me about that. So I kind of like, okay. And I used to watch it on my phone all the time. So
One Piece is my inspiration. One Piece is my inspiration because I have never, ever in my life seen a story that took 15 years to look at. There is no filler. One Piece literally has no filler in it. It is the most intense story I have. That is a story. I mean, yes, it's a manga and it's graphical.
Mm-hmm.
If it were strictly a type story, like a novel, that story would be probably a million words at this point.
Strong million
words. Yeah, maybe two.
And it's called One Piece?
One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very good story. If you want to see how to do characterization and to watch a character arc, watch One Piece because when you look at it, you think it is ridiculous. You do. When you first, you're like, it's a comedy, and there is some comedic aspects to it, but it is, like, super serious. You see this guy, Luffy, Monkey D. Luffy. Luffy wants to be, he idolized the pirate, and he said, you know what? You're awesome. One day I'm going to be king of the pirates, and I'm going to run all of this. And the guy was like, good luck with that. When you become king of the pirates, he said, he took his hat, he had a straw hat on, and he took his hat off, because remember, Luffy idolized him, and he said, here you go, here's something for you to work towards. When you become king of the pirates and you're a badass, you come find me and give me my hat back. Deuces. Okay?
Wow.
And Luffy, remember, Luffy looked up to this guy. This guy was really awesome. Not only he was a pirate, in this world, in the world of One Piece, it's weird because it's like Earth but not Earth. The seas are weird. It's like the seas are divided into four. There's like this huge continental wall that separates the sea, and it causes weird magnetic fields to happen and craziness. That and so it's like that part science fiction, part fantasy business.
Mm-hmm.
And so Luffy, the pirate goes off, his name is Shanks, and he goes off and he does his thing, and Luffy grows up, because he was probably like 6 when it happened. Luffy grows up, he's 19 now, and he says, I'm going to follow through what I said, I'm going to become a pirate. And his village is like, you don't have any money. He said, you know what, I'm going to find a way to earn it. And so he gets in a barrel and he starts paddling.
Wow.
That's how deep it was for him to become a pirate. And
wow.
His adventure, he gets shanghaied by some pirates who saw him in a barrel.
So he's in the barrel in open water. Wow.
Right. And so he's a pirate captain of a barrel. Yeah, he was serious. He was a pirate captain of a barrel. He slowly goes from, and the biggest thing about Luffy is conviction and follow through, even when it sounds dumb. Yeah, you're going to be wise about it, but you focus on your objective, not how you're going to necessarily get there.
Get there, but that's the, nice.
It'll get figured out, which that's a little bit backwards for me, but I get it.
Yeah.
So he goes from being captain of a barrel to getting his first crew member, getting another crew member. The third crew member, he actually gets a boat, a real boat.
Wow.
Then he gets a couple more crew members, and he gets a bigger boat. And he goes from, no, you're not even a pirate I've heard of, to a point where he is infamous. He has a bounty on his head that's like $1 billion.
Wow. He was serious.
And he started out with a barrel.
Talk about follow through.
Yeah. That's 15 years of story right there.
Wow.
He is now, at the point where they are in One Piece now, he is starting to tackle those people he needs to tackle in order to give that straw hat back to Shanks. So the story is more than halfway done, but you're seeing the character arc of someone following their dream with 100% conviction.
He goes
through some hard times. He goes through some hard times. Some of his choices have brought some, I wouldn't say misery, but they made things hard for him.
He
lost some people. He gained some people, all kinds of stuff. He goes through some things.
Wow. Write that down. Look for that One Piece. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's just good watching the character art, because you're seeing and then seeing the background stories, and to know that even though it took 15 years to get to, more than 15 years at this point.
Years, right?
To get to where they are, and nothing has been wasted. Nothing.
Wow.
Everything that you see when you read if you read the manga or if you watch the series, you see stuff that happens and you're thinking that's throwaway. But I promise you, maybe 200 episodes later, you might see it again.
So it wasn't throwaway. Wow.
Yeah, there's nothing throwaway in there.
That is awesome.
And I think about that kind of stuff, not necessarily trying to be that epic, but I think about those kind of stuff when I write my stories. What is the character development? How can I help them to grow? And what is the story? What's their story?
Right.
So to speak. I think in basis of comparison, people will have a good time with that, because you're going to see a king who has everything except someone to love him, his own partner. He has family. He doesn't have a partner because he can't trust anybody. All he trusts is his brothers. And so he has to learn how to trust someone. And how does that mm-hmm. happen? Well, you have to read the story to find out.
You have to read the story to find out, exactly.
Nice. You got an earth maiden, a girl, who thinks that she is too weird and awkward, and she feels like she's too weird and awkward in order to get to be close to people. So mm-hmm. she buries herself in her work to the point where she like has no friends. She has
wow.
no friends. She doesn't have anybody to date. She wants to date someone, but she kind of gets in her own way because she doesn't know how to be. And so she kind of avoids things. She avoids things that are hard. And so she has to learn to not only not run away just because things are hard, but to stick
right.
it out, but
mm-hmm.
know that someone's going to depend on you, and so you can't run away. So you got those two people growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about it. You got someone who is afraid to trust someone, who is in love with someone who runs away when it gets hard.
Wow.
How does that relationship work?
Exactly. It doesn't sound like they would.
Well, you know what? You got to put, and so that was what I learned again from One Piece, is that you have to put the character through things that are going to test the metal, and help them push forward. They're going to have some missteps, and they're going to grow. And so I had to put her through some things, including therapy.
Well, nothing wrong with that. They've got to, because how else are you going to develop?
Exactly. She made some mistakes. He made some mistakes. But they got to where they needed to be.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you and finding out more about bases of comparison, especially within the villain series. So I think everybody's going to really enjoy it. And we've got to push you up so we can get you. So tomorrow morning, I'll say you hit the number one.
All right.
So
like
listen
it.
Up, everybody. I'm speaking this now. We're going to get her to number one tomorrow. So pick up your copy. Go to Amazon. Look it up. Check out her other series as well, because I'm going to be looking up some too. Because I'm definitely got to get Springtime in Paris. So King of Wishful Thinking and Shenanigans, right?
Yes.
So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight and listening and having fun with Miss TV Bond, who is awesome. And I've got to know her and Don Ibanez as well. And you guys are awesome. And so maybe we'll have something we'll come up with for like a little radio play later on down the line.
Oh, yeah. You know,
whenever you guys get ready. Hey, I got the sound. I got the system. Let's, you know.
There you go.
We should do this. So thank you again for coming on the show, and definitely come back, most definitely for your other books as well. And yes, we're gonna push for number one. So we're gonna say it now. We're gonna push for number one. So she's gonna hit the number one tomorrow. So
push for number one.
Get out there. So yes, go to Amazon. Check it out. So you guys have a good evening, and I wish you blessings, peace, and love. Have a good evening, everyone.
Have a good evening.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.